We are working on family. We worked quite a bit on marriage, and now we're on raising kids. And I just want to clarify, brethren, this does apply to discipleship also. These principles, as we talk about what God's plan is for raising children, all of us, when we become Christians, when we're immersed into Christ, we start out as babes in Christ, don't we? And we gotta, we're children. John mentions that in 1 John, children. And then he talks about young men. And then he talks about fathers. There's a process in our spiritual development. And these same principles apply. God is the perfect Heavenly Father. And so, whether or not you're immediately in the role of raising your own physical children, these are things that principles that you can take and apply across the board spiritually. And so I want to encourage you to do that. In case we forget, lately I've been reading back through the Kings as part of my daily Bible reading. And it is really amazing how often it speaks of so-and-so walked in the ways of his father. Every once in a while you get a good king. And guess whose steps he walked in? Those of his father, David. And then you see a lot of them walked in the steps of Jeroboam. And the way he made Israel sin with idolatry, etc. So, we do follow. Dads, it's important. We lead, we have a role model that other our children are going to walk in our steps. And grandpas and great-grandpas. I mean, you can see this. There were some guys that were smart enough to figure out, Dad's messed up. I'm going to walk into this guy because he did stuff right. And the Scripture bears that out. And so we certainly are role models as parents. Go with me to the book of James. James chapter 3. There was one other freebie that I was going to hit, but I already took off out of my mind. So, James chapter 3, verse 17. Oh, I know what it was. What are the requirements for an elder in the Lord's church? In simple terms. What's kind of the core of that? He's got to be able to manage his own household well, doesn't he? True. Okay, Clint's been out there dealing with a lot of so-called pastors, probably that don't even have one. Yeah, he's got to have a household. He's got to manage his household well. He says, if you can't manage your own household, how are you going to take care of the church of the living God? Brethren, the family unit is central. It is a training ground. It is a very close spiritual application to the spiritual family, the spiritual household of God. So you look at the devil's attack. Not only does he attack the church from false doctrine, but he is attacking the church by attacking the family. You think it's any wonder? Do you wonder why the whole issue of women in our culture and their roles is all messed up? It's not really just because he wants to destroy the physical family, because he wants to ruin the church. As an example, you want to wonder? You wonder why all these dads are deadbeat dads and nowhere around? It's not just because the devil, he does enjoy destroying things, but his goal ultimately is to tear down the church of the living God. The family is a core unit that we need to get this right for the church to be able to move forward the way that God wants it to. James chapter 3, let's pick it up in 13. I really want to key in on verses 17 and 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Brother, I submit to you that most families in the world are full of disorder and every evil thing. It is chaos. It is a mess. I go into people's homes and out of people's homes all the time, and I walk out of there hating the devil. The destruction that he caused. But there is disorder. Why? It tells you there's jealousy and there's selfish ambition. People are being selfish. They're caring about their own personal interests. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts, even among us in the church? Isn't it your pleasures that wage war in your members? Selfish interests are never going to bring about God's desires. That wisdom is not from above. It's earthly. Not only is it earthly and natural, it is demonic. It's coming up from the pits of hell, if you want to think of it that way. And that's the world. The church is different. The wisdom from above. That's what we're working on here. The wisdom from above is pure. We talked about that last time. Pure motives. We're raising our children. We care about what is best for this individual soul. I mentioned as example with Caleb, my dad giving us some good advice when Caleb was about 2.5 years old. My dad really encouraged me, Julie and I, that we can't worry about Caleb in terms of how he is a reflection of us. You know, we have to think about is what's best for Caleb. We're not going to be judged on the behavior of our 2.5-year-old child. What we're judged on is where does Caleb end up? And so sometimes if you think about how this child's making me look bad, that's not pure motives, guys. You aren't going to be able to do what's best for that kid. Doesn't that apply with disciples too? Sometimes, making me look bad. If you got that, that's the wrong mentality. What'd you say? That's very self-centered, isn't it? But it's easy to get caught up in that. And we want to put the interests of our children and of those that God has allowed us to disciple, we want to put the interests of their souls first. So the wisdom from above is pure. I am very thankful for my dad that other people looked at me and they had expectations and they used me probably against my dad at times, but my dad never used me against our families. You know what I mean by that? In other words, my dad never said, oh, if you do this, that's going to bring me down and my work. You think about preachers' kids and policemen's kids and why they are so often turn out bad. I think there's a lot of hypocrisy in most of those homes. But I think also, if there is an expectation on children that it's a reflection of me, and you're worried about it for your own self instead of for that child, then kids figure that out. And so I'm appreciative of my dad having the wisdom to let me do some dumb stuff and gently and patiently and slowly guide me through that, realizing that some of those mistakes, sometimes that's the way you got to learn, by making some mistakes and not trying to make the law stricter because it was going to make him look bad. That's just an example of that. All right, tonight we're going to charge into wisdom from above is peaceable. Wisdom from above is peaceable. It's got to be a peaceful environment in the home. Kids do end up being a reflection of their parents. If there is jealousy, selfish ambition, let's see, was there another one in here? I don't know why stripes popping into my head. But when those things exist, then your children, they get caught up in that and they're going to emulate that behavior. Strife between parents is not a good setting in which to raise your children. If you're home, if mom and dad are always fighting, duking it out back and forth, what sort of consistency do those kids have? Who wants that, for one thing? Who wants to even be home? You want to be in a place where all there is fighting all the time? Look at my daily reading today. The Proverbs was, he who loves transgression loves strife. Now, I was kind of thinking about that. If you put the words around, he who loves strife loves transgression. I think it's fair to do that. There's people that I know, that I have said it this way, and I kind of say it tongue-in-cheek, but they're not happy unless they're in fighting. They're not happy unless they're in the midst of conflict. And I don't think they're really happy, but you know what I mean. This is their expectation, and something's wrong if there's not some sort of fight going on. That tells you their mentality. They love sin. That's what the Scripture says. He who loves strife loves transgression. We want to provide a peaceful environment for our home. Mom and dad are always fighting, pulling different directions. How do those poor kids feel? What kid wants to be a Christian if this is what they view as Christianity? You read through the letters to the churches there in Revelation, and one thing I gather, people that are lukewarm, people that are sinners but with a foot in the church, your kids really, really, really pay for it. That next generation. Children want to see, they need to see real Christianity poured out in their parents' lives. One of the major problems, divorce, other dysfunctionality, the impact it has on children the rest of their lives. It is so easy to try to justify in your own mind and think the things that you do, the sins that you commit, don't impact anybody else. Not true. This is it. Third and fourth generations, seeing that God visits the iniquity of the fathers, the third and fourth generations, the same time as loving kindness to the thousands. So, if you don't care enough to do it for your own salvation, if you don't care enough to do it for the salvation of your spouse, how about your children? Got to start somewhere, don't you? I think some of us became Christians because we did care about our kids. We wanted something better for them than what we had. That's an okay place to start, guys. So, wisdom from above is peaceful, peaceable. Wisdom from above is gentle. This is a good one for us guys. I know that I have a certain voice when I am fired up, when I'm being tough. And you know, there's a time for a certain voice. I have noticed that Bosco listens to me better than anybody else in my family. Now, Bosco does happen to be a dog, though, and I need to remember that. Okay? Gentle is not always something that's natural. I think especially for us men, although, you know, women in your ways too, it's stuff you struggle. Women in some ways, they're the ones that got the kids all day long. Mom, 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 mom. And sometimes they can get to a point where it's like, enough! I've had it! You know, and not be gentle. Wisdom from above is gentle. It takes true strength to act in a gentle manner. You might not know it with the professional football, and you might not know it with the MMA stuff going on, but true strength is characterized by gentleness. I had you guys remember Sean Matungwa back in the day? He always thought he was a pretty tough guy, and he was a tough guy. Sean had a pretty natural, good build on him. From 8 years old on up, he thought he was tough, tough, tough. So one day I had him come move this table by himself. Didn't do so good. He's tripping, stumbling. And then I moved it for him. And my point to him was that if you're really strong, you can do something and you can do it gently. You can move something without breaking it. Isn't that what we want to do with our children? They need moved. They need guided. They need positioned from here to there. Can we do that without breaking them? Some people give up and they don't try to move their kids at all. Scripture's pretty clear where that's going to end up. You know, you can't get past Proverbs chapter 1 before you realize that's total destruction. The flip side of that is, though, people that are forcing, and it's always push, and it's where I want them to go, and it's because I said so, and I'm the boss, and you will do what I tell you to do. As long as you park those feet on my table, I am the boss. And then they wonder why their kids can't wait to get out of home, and at 16 years old, their kids don't park their feet under their table anymore. It's there's something to move them without breaking them. That's the goal. It requires gentleness. Yes, David. It is. No doubt about that. And I will say this as well. We need to lead by example. But I'm going to throw this extra in. Leading by example isn't enough. We still have to communicate. We still have to teach. We still have to coach up. We still have to show how it works and explain how it works. Okay. So, but it doesn't do any good to explain and show and tell if you don't do it. So that's your point, and that's a good point. Mike?
You talk about gentleness, like that heated moment, working on a vehicle or something like that. There's sometimes the only way you can get something that's difficult to put it back together is by being very gentle. And I was thinking of the contrast on that, you know, it's gentle when you're still down. When you're tearing down, you can get your 4-pound sled down and bang on stuff until it comes apart. But in order to build up, you've got to get stuff in the right spot at the right time.
That, lots of times that is the difference between a real mechanic and a backyard mechanic, isn't it? You know, the lot of the backyard guys, they can tear the other stuff up, but to get it back together and get it back together right without breaking stuff, it takes some skill, it takes some gentleness, it takes knowing enough what you're doing. And part of it, brethren, is some confidence here. Part of it is confidence that you know what you're doing. Okay? And as you know what you're doing, you can be gentle and you can take that extra bit of time. Trish?
In the student you're talking about how to apply to the discipleship, I'm trying to talk with my younger brother about things because they're very into learning other religions, but not Christianity. And trying to talk with him about things, and you know, you can lead by example, you can communicate to them, but something I realize is if you don't do it with trust in God and with faith that
to work out
his good plan, then it puts so much stress on you that sometimes you forget to be gentle. Yep. And you forget how to be peaceful with it, and it can overwhelm you. So I think if our true is trusting in God, ultimately you can do all the things that you need to be doing. And if you don't do them with trusting God, it kind of
defeats the purpose. It does, yeah. You'll end up trying to push it, try to get ahead of God's timing too, and that when you have your own expectations there. So, yeah, definitely need to be gentle, and that includes trusting God to be able to do that. I thought somebody else said something. So, remember, this is stuff we got to remember. Children are real people. Sometimes it's kind of easy to forget that. We got our schedule, we got our agenda, we got stuff we got to get done, we have expectations of them. And that's good. It is good to have expectations. But we do have to remember, they're real. They have souls. They have feelings. Okay? You ever have a tough day? You ever have a day when you don't feel so good? I feel really bad for the ones that can't talk yet, can't communicate. I know, going through 4 of them, you know something's wrong, but they can't tell you what's wrong. That's a tough situation. You can't even explain to them what's going on because they can't tell you what's going on. Hey, God, this doesn't stop when they're before they can talk. Sometimes after they can talk. Sometimes you ask teenagers what's going on, they can't tell you sometimes. We got to remember, kids are souls. They have feelings. Hey, sometimes they're sick. I know how I am when I'm not feeling good. Last thing I need is somebody cracking the whip over me when I'm not feeling well. Our kids probably don't need that either. How do we deal with children then and their emotions? We gruff. Get that straightened up. I have been. I think there's a time to be tough. But there's also time to try to figure out what's going on with this kid and how are we going to help them get to where they need to go. Gently guide, teach, and coach them through. Growing up, house we moved into, my parents still live there, moved in when I was about 8 years old. There was a tree that was growing crooked, and the way to fix that tree, my dad didn't fix it. It was actually already in the process of being fixed before we got there. But the solution to that tree wasn't to come along and hit it every once in a while. You know? Ah, you're still out of shape. Bang. Ah, what? You're still out of shape. Bang. That doesn't work. A kid that's a little bit crooked, you know, coming and beating on them every once in a while isn't really the way you're going to straighten them up. A steel bar. Some version of this, exerting constant pressure, constant steady pressure. That's the way to get this thing straight. Larry.
Kind of leading there is, and this is a good time, with anything growing, you have to be patient. If you're not patient, and I've seen this in my own self, is that if you're not patient, you'll never change something. You expect immediate results. You just don't change instantly. You just don't change instantly. You know, if you want to, you can just do them to change it for the law, you know, as a favor, you know, but it
right.
Doesn't last. And so, in order to have that tree change, it takes, you know, a lot of time and that constant pressure. Same thing with kids, you know, when you spot something you want to work on with your kids, you know, at least I mean, my kids, is something that I get to make a plan, how we're going to continue to try and reinforce this. Like I say, it's not something you just ran and expect it fixed or bang because you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, that's a great point. We regard the patience of God as salvation, don't we? I'm thankful He's patient with me. I know I've had to work on being patient with myself because if you're not patient with yourself, you're frustrated, not where you should be, and then you know it starts working against yourself. Same with your kids. It's a good point, Larry. So we definitely need to do that. We don't want to break our children. We want to help them stand straight. The way we're going to do that is being steady, consistent, gentle. Gentle pressure. Gentle, steady pressure along the way. Wisdom from above is reasonable. That's a good one, isn't it? I remember a student I had in school years ago. This young lady, her favorite thing to do was, when it came to schoolwork, basically nothing. And then every once in a while, she'd get all on fire, going to get all this stuff done, and she'd set these goals that were outrageous. How do you think she did well when she did that? You know what it was, actually? It was a subconscious setup to ensure failure. You set goals that are unreasonable. You try it for a couple days. You can't do it. You're done. Now, what if somebody else, what if we as parents, if we're imposing goals and expectations on our children that are not reasonable? How's that going to work? Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, brother, I recognize that the devil has a very serious interest in trying to bring about rebellion in our children. And I understand that there is a natural tendency for children to go towards rebellion. I also understand it's a parent's responsibility to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord and to do it in a manner that's going to produce the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Are we going to have to deal with moments of rebellion? Yes. But we as parents, particularly, I'm going to say as dads, we can either help our children through so it is real change that they have, so they are making real progress, so they are growing maturity, so they're growing in wisdom and in favor with God and in favor with men, or if we do it wrong, we can actually be promoting rebellion within them. Don't provoke your children to anger. I knew a guy. I probably shouldn't say this with the kids in here. Let's just put it this way. I remember a high school boy. He was out to get his dad. And just put it that way. He's out to get his dad. And you know what? I got to say, in many ways, his dad deserved it. Now, I wouldn't tell the kid, give it to your dad anyways, because the scripture tells children they have a responsibility to their parents, regardless of whether or not their parents knew. But this dad provoked that from his child consistently, over and over and over and over again. One sure way, I'm going to talk about a couple of these later, but one sure way to provoke your children to anger is to have unreasonable expectations. You ever worked for a boss that had unreasonable expectations? What do you start doing? Start looking for a way out, don't you? You have parents, dads that have unreasonable expectations? Kids mentally start looking for a way out. Dads, we won't be reasonable. The wisdom from above is reasonable. We need to honestly assess the present position of each child and set achievable goals for them. You know, the scripture warns us as Christians over and over again, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Think so as to have sound judgment. Do you think that'd be fair that in reference to our children we should be the same? Not all of our kids are the same. Matter of fact, they're all different. They all have strengths in different ways. They all have some weaknesses. They all have some personality areas that they're not strong in. We have to be honest about that and love them regardless of what those strengths and weaknesses may or may not be. I had to pick on Caleb for a second. I love this guy. He's a good boy. So everyone wants to tell him, Dad, I wish I was more like Matthew in such and such a way. And I have to remind him, he has strengths that are different than Matthew's strengths. And sometimes I have to go so far as to say, here's Matthew's strengths and his weaknesses. Here are your strengths and your weaknesses. Which would you rather have? He usually ends back, he's happy he's Caleb. Okay? Nothing against Matthew in bringing that up. But, you know, there's some things that I accentuate in that discussion. But kids are different. As parents, we got to be reasonable. We can't expect them all to be exactly the same. Okay? To do that, you're setting your kids up for failure. Super Dave. Yep. Yep. Amen. And I'm going to touch on that one because that's the other big one I think that provokes our children to anger is inconsistency. So we need to know where we're going. We need to understand and we need to chart that course and we need to stay on it, making some adjustments where we need to make adjustments, but not all over the map. If we're all over the map, then that's definitely going to provoke that in our children. Jared.
One of the things that I have learned as a parent is that this is very true. Each child has a different level of ability and a level of maturity that goes along with their age, and sometimes it doesn't match their age. But one of the things that we have to understand as parents, too, is that we might do things to a certain level. Like, when I mow the lawn, I like it to be perfect. I like the lines to be exactly spaced right, all the straight lines. When I send my kid out there, Connor does a great job, but they're not always perfectly straight. And for a while there, when I first time started to do it, I've got to back up through it again. And he hated it. Now he goes out and does a great job. It's all the same length, and it's great, but he's getting better at it. And the thing is, that's the same with anything that we teach them. You know, if we're expecting our 6 or 7 year old daughter to help with the kitchen stuff, you know what? It's not going to be to the same level of clean or orderliness as the wife would be.
Yep.
And we have to understand that, and our wives have to understand
that. That is a really great point, Jared, because I see a lot of parents, and I'm going to pick on the moms in particular this way, although I'm sure it applies both, but because their kids can't do it to that same level, they don't even let their kids do it. They do it all, and then their kids never learn how. And so we got a lot of teenage boys and girls that don't know how to do anything. Because the parent, you know, and it's not that their parents were lazy, it's their parents didn't have wisdom from above. So instead of being reasonable and teaching them and having those expectations that were reasonable for where they at, they just decided it was easier to do it themselves.
Or to come in after them
and fix it.
The job, so to speak. And that doesn't help either.
Yep, that's a great point. I mean, sometimes the best thing you can do, give your kids a responsibility, make an agreement with them, walk away. I am one of those dads. Sometimes I want to. Hey, were you going to get to? We made an agreement. They understand what it is. If after the deadline for that agreement, then it's not met, then we got to deal with it. But once that agreement's made, it's their responsibility. Let them figure out how to get it done before the deadline, and they don't need constant reminder. They don't need. I mean, again, be reasonable about the maturity level of your child. Okay, so set these expectations that are reasonable. Mike.
That's really important here. And it's easy for us to maybe miss that a little bit until we apply it to ourselves. I mean, do you want people to expect more from you than what you're capable of?
Yep.
Where you presently are? Let's say you start a new job. I mean, your boss expects you to behave like somebody who doesn't come in. Well, that's not fair. It's not reasonable.
Right.
You can't expect a 2-year-old to act like a 10-year-old. You can't expect a 10-year-old to act like a 16-year-old.
Yep.
And the secondary part of that is, and I think it's something as parents we have to guard ourselves from. So if somebody else's kid does really good, don't measure your kids against somebody else's kids. Measure your kids against your kids.
Yep.
Against themselves and where they should be based on their comfort. Because everybody's different.
Yep.
You know, there's times that, you know, I don't think it's fair. I think my brother got a better bag than I did on some things. You know? But I got a better bag than he did on some other things.
Yep.
That's
a great point. And you know what? Something back to what Super Dave said earlier. You know, we do have strengths and weaknesses, and there's a tendency, oftentimes, to let's key in on these weaknesses and get them straightened out and get them strong here. But, you know, I don't think God works that way. You read the way that God speaks of the church and the gifts that He's given to us. He doesn't say go and develop all these other gifts. I mean, there is one section where He says, if you can do this, then yeah, go for it. Okay? But for the most part, you use what you have to serve the Lord. There are times as Christians, we have to go through some personality changes to be effective for the Lord. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. But God does not ask us to completely change, all of us to completely change our personality to be like so-and-so. God gives each of us strengths, and what He expects us is to figure out how to use the strengths that we have. I'm not talking about sin issues and character stuff. I'm talking about personality stuff to accomplish His will. There's development along the way, for sure. But we are different, and our kids are different, and we need to understand that, and they aren't all supposed to look exactly the same. It's okay. So parents, be reasonable. What are they capable of? Clint.
I was just going to say, and I know what it feels like to have that girl sergeant over your shoulder and yelling and screaming and trying to, you know, that's just not a good working condition. Sure, it teaches you how to work under pressure or whatever. But, you know, ultimately, I did it the way the drill sergeant wanted me to do it, even though I was out of basic training. And all that stuff pretty much got thrown in the garbage.
Amen. Amen. Exactly. Larry.
What Mike said, you know, don't compare your kids against other kids, but also, as human beings, we tend to project our expectations of even ourselves onto our kids. Don't compare your kids to yourself either. I've got three kids, and you know they're different, and you know some are more like you, some are more like Aaron, and some are just
Each one has different strengths of the mix, so I don't ever want to say, why don't you get into that? Because I think we should be at that because I'm good at that. Why aren't you interested in this? Because I'm interested in this. You know, maybe I write some software, maybe one more year, maybe I don't know. You know, but that's all right. You know, I mean, the overall thing, like you said, I serve Christ, whatever they do, that shouldn't change. But, you know, our, I think it's our job as parents to not project on our expectations.
Amen.
Or live vicariously through our kids, but to help them figure out, like you're saying, how to use those, whatever they are good at. And sometimes only not good at, help them.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great point. And I think dads in particular, we have a tendency to want our son to grow up to be just like us. And character-wise, yes. But personality-wise and the things that they're going to be good at, not necessarily the same. Sometimes we joke around in our family about, you know, oh, so-and-so's too much like dad, and so-and-so's more like mom. And, you know, there are differences. Julie and I, in case you guys haven't figured that out, our personalities are substantially different. She's kind of loud and boisterous, and I kind of go to, oh, you know, there are some natural, and so our kids, some of them naturally pick up different things from each of us, and so we gotta recognize that. Dave. Yeah, that's true. At some point, everybody's going to chart their own course. And you have to. But the scripture, my gospel, right? At some point, we got to go, we got to fight for it, we got to earn it, we got to where it's ours. And so, that's reasonable that our kids would be the same. Remember this, guys, success leads to more success. We want to give our children opportunities to be successful. Put them in an environment where they can achieve those expectations that have been set for them. Unreasonable goals lead to failure after failure after failure, and that causes resentment and leads to rebellion. We want to set our kids up for success. And I will say this, brethren, the earlier we can start with our kids doing stuff right, the better opportunities for them to have success after success after success. So if we're getting started, you know, if we got kids that are young, now's the time. Get on it, right? Let's do this thing right from the get-go. And you know what? If we have kids that are older before we became Christians and we're starting now, this might be more important than ever. Reasonable expectations. Where are they? What are they capable of? Let's take them where they are and lead them step by step and trust that God is going to help them get to where they need to go. Most of all, spiritually. And then these other things as well. One more. Wisdom from above. It's merciful. Children do sometimes make mistakes. I like this verse. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We've heard that one quite a bit lately around here. That's true. Some parallel passages. Therefore, you are to be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Can you be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect? If you're not merciful, as He is merciful? No way. Okay. So, we have to be merciful when they spill their milk. When they break things. I broke a number of things with balls. I told you guys about that. When they're careless. Sometimes kids are careless. Okay. I notice usually it's parents who cry over the spilled milk. The reason kids cry over spilled milk is after they've been beat for spilling their milk before because their parents were crying over it. Not really that big of a deal, guys, when it comes down to it. Yeah, we want to be careful. We want to teach our children to be, you know, aware, have some awareness, and be considerate. But I spill stuff sometimes. I knock something over. I break stuff. I don't usually jump down myself for it. It's like, well, that kind of stuff happens. Why would I be that way to my kids? So, be merciful. Save our wrath for willful disobedience. Parents often administer the same discipline for mistakes and rebellion. That's not good parenting, brethren. One thing I've tried to do, and I learned this from my dad. You know, basically, my dad, two sure things you get spanked for: lying and back talking your mom. Those two things, basically, no questions. Either of those are proven to be true. You lied, you back talked your mom, it's a sure whipping. Some other things, there's a lot more coaching and time. I remember a few times my mom wanted us whipped for some other things. I remember one in particular. She didn't think we were, she had given us instructions to get the table cleared off, and we were all messing around and having fun. She kind of insisted that my dad give us a spanking, and I remember lining up and getting ready, and it was a little tap, tap. This isn't so bad. But there's a difference. And for the most part, I've tried with my children to, when I give them severe punishment, discipline, to save it for when it's rebellion. There is a difference. Big difference. Now, there's a couple times just flat stupidity. And the only way to cure that sometimes, too, is let's put a little pain to help apply the lesson here. So there's a couple times on that. But, you know, mistakes are mistakes. And we need to do a lot of coaching on other misbehavior. We'll stop there tonight. Any closing? Kyle.
Brother Luke, I want to thank you for doing this class. The one thing that I think I've noticed right offhand is since I just talked with Brother Josh Cole, and he was speaking of, kind of like how we look at the things which are spiritual, right? And in this warfare, we have certain situations in all things that we encounter, we work on it spiritually as we're going in faith, being perfected. You know, whether it's children or whether it's our wives or husbands, you know, all things that we go through, we're being perfected.
Yeah.
Another thing, I haven't actually gone through this yet, but Brother Josh was saying something like the Old Testament was like God's character and like Son, it's complete Son, and then in the New Testament, he's more like water. Too much Son, like, would scorch up the grass and stuff and burn it. Like, too much firmness, or I don't know, I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. God's character hasn't changed, but He was demonstrating something. God is holy, and holiness apart from love and mercy does not produce a people that is righteous. It cannot. And so God actually, as He's working with man, even though the Old Testament does make that point, His loving kindness is forever. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth realized through Jesus Christ. There are some things that really were not communicated on purpose by God until the coming. He couldn't communicate His love ultimately until the coming of Christ. And so that Old Testament, God purposely shows you the law by itself will not produce what He wants to produce. And He would never, even in the Old Testament, anybody that was justified was not justified by law. They were justified by faith. Okay? We got a lot clearer picture now, and we are thankful for that. So, yeah, I was thinking, Kyle, recently the same thing. Actually, just my prayers the last couple of days, really appreciative. God has given us His Spirit, and I'm thankful for that. Mike was hitting on that. God's given us His Word, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm also thankful for circumstances of our life. Whether it be, you know, our job situation and things we can learn, or our wife, or our children, or our monetary situation, all these things, that health stuff, all of this stuff, if we will interpret in the light of this, if we will walk by the Spirit when we come through those things, God uses all of that stuff to perfect us. And He's the perfect dad. He knows exactly what each one of us needs. We're not all the same. And so we wouldn't expect that we would all get the exact same challenges, would we? But He's working on the same stuff for all of us. He's helping us take on His character. So, that's great. All right.